I'm the demographic for Ex-Lax.
It's ridiculous. That's crazy. He will make some plays. I think he's good on run support. I like his athleticism. He's going to prove that he's a player, and he's going to take a level up. But anybody that's thinking Pro Bowl, that ain't going to happen.
Buccaneers fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Ira Kaufman, the king of Newport Richey. And we're actually in Newport Richey, Ira. How about that?
Beautiful.
Your homeland, your people, they're everywhere.
I brought my own creamer for my coffee, Steve. Who does that?
That's the strangest thing I've ever seen, let alone the Boston Terrier bottle that you put it in. I've never seen anything like that, Ira.
It could be anything in that bottle.
It could be
ketamine.
Anyway, he is Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself. The custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan is here, Ira. And, you know, we got a very exciting night tonight. It's one of my favorites because it is the annual prediction episode where the Sage, as well as Lee and I, put some stamps on this season, what we expect in some key areas. I think I've got a list of about 16 questions for you. I think it's like 20 with the follow-ups, Ira.
May I make an initial prediction right off the bat before you ask the first question?
Please do.
Lee, I feel very safe with this. I predict in 2025, I'm already looking ahead, that Joe Bucks Fan will continue to be the authority on all Bucks news. Well, that's my safe prediction.
That's quite a prediction, Ira. I've got a safe prediction, and that is that there are incredible deals this weekend at Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Get there. Go to the website. Click on new inventory, used inventory, schedule service at the biggest and baddest service department around. They've got 100 loaner vehicles, 99, because Lee's got one now.
How many bays do they have, Stevie?
I don't know. I forgot the number, but it's the biggest, and we're not just exaggerating by any means. That's what's going on there, a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. It's a world-class facility. You can even go take a look at it. On top of that, they got their gold-certified collision center, and you want a price there, and you want to ask for the Ira Kaufman discount, and that is always in effect on top of all the other offers, and that means you reach out to GM Sean Sullivan or whoever you're working with there, but Sean's the greatest. You can find him on the website. Look at him. Send him a message if you want to. Demand that Ira Kaufman discount. They still have great financing offers, and still, Ira, they will beat any offer out there by $100. Get your best deal at Bill Curry Ford. And you can even show the ad on your phone or something. You don't have to come in there with some extreme documentation. BillCurryFord.com. Get shopping this weekend. And later, Sage, we'll talk about our great friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Two more storms on the way. What's in your storm plan?
I was just thinking about that, Steve. The great news about September, guys, Buck football. The worst news about September, where we live, it's really bad for storm season. September is bad.
You got a good roof at your place, Ira?
Got a good roof.
Got a good roof?
8 years.
8 years?
8 years,
right.
I'm okay. And we know what roofs cost. It's 10 grand before you blink your eye. Might be 15. So September's rough. And if you need Florida's Elite Restoration, that's your place to go.
I can hear a lot of people listening now saying, Ira, where the hell you get a roof for 10 grand? You must know somebody. All right. Like I said, part of that plan has got to be floridaselite.com. Get there now. We'll talk about some of their great things they're doing later, Sage. Now,
I've had my mind on fantasy football, Steve, because we got the draft coming up.
You got your
with
big
Todd
draft
Wright Monday night.
Big draft Monday
and
night.
And here you are inserting yourself with Buck predictions. So I've had to do a change of mindset here.
Well, before we get to the predictions, Ira, a couple things. One, the Bucks made a waiver claim, so I'm curious to hear what you and Lee think about this guy, Royce Newman. He's been in the league 3 years, has not missed a game. He's mostly played right guard. He's got 24 starts under his belt for the Packers, Ira. This is not some
all at guard,
some slappy. Most at guard. He's played a little right tackle, little left guard. Here he is. They claimed him. He was a fourth round pick in 2021. Now Jason Light was on something called the Sick Podcast. Strange name, Ira, the Sick Podcast. But he gave a little scouting report. He said it was exuberant for Light. He's like, I like his playing style. High motor guy, fits in with our guys. Scrappy player, tough, versatile. He said he can play either guard. He can play right tackle. And I wouldn't be surprised, this is a quote, wouldn't be surprised if he'd go out there and hang in there at left tackle. Smart guy, fits all the traits, that kind of thing. So they just got some legitimate O-line depth. 27 years old, guy's never missed a game.
Lee, as far as the tackle is concerned specifically, I like the move. I think they were a little short at tackle because you guys have been saying correctly, Hainsey hasn't played tackle as a pro, did in college. I think they like this guy Elijah Klein at guard. And, of course, you got Hainsey, who I think the Buck coaching staff feels could fill in at guard. I thought tackle depth was short, so I think this was a smart move by Jason Light.
I mean, you can never have enough good offensive linemen, just like you can never have enough good cornerbacks.
Gedeke and Wirfs were healthy last year. That's not a guarantee for 2024. So I was a little worried about the depth of tackle, and I think this is a smart move. I don't see him playing guard. I see him as a backup tackle.
All right, Sage. All right. Not that. Yeah, I can see those predictions are on your mind, Ari.
They're definitely on my mind.
It's kind of like when you had that thing written out for Jason Light, and you took a shot at his wife when he was on the podcast.
And then he said, "My wife must be blind when she married me." So that was a good line by Light.
Yeah, he won that war.
He won that. Yeah, he won that.
The other thing, Sage, the Bucks have a new quarterback. He was cut by the Packers. He was the 7th round pick. And the interesting thing is that on the same podcast, Light went out of his way to say that the Bucks planned to draft the guy in round 7 instead of Devin Culp. That's who they were going to draft. Michael Pratt out of Tulane. Light explained that he had been following him for a while. Light's actual college football coach from when he played was the Tulane offensive coordinator and quarterbacks coach in 2022. Apparently they're still close. And Light said that I've been tracking this guy, and you know, we were going to draft him. And he said it was the first time in his Bucks career that in the 7th round, the team right before they were going to pick a guy snatched him. And he was like, ugh. And then they drafted Devin Culp, who he said, you know, we like him. He made the roster, and it all worked out. So what does that say to you? I don't know if that reflects on Kyle Trask or not.
Interesting. First thing I'm going to say, Lee, and I don't think you can argue with it. If he was head over heels about this Tulane guy, he wouldn't have waited till the 7th round. Take it easy. Then he gets cut. So a double take it easy. I'm not expecting much out of this guy.
No.
I don't think he's going to probably be on the team in 2025. And I'm not And I'm not sure Trask will be on the team. I think there'll be a new backup.
Yeah.
He was productive with the, what they call the wave or something?
Yeah, the green wave.
Yeah, the green wave. He was productive with the green wave.
Sean King University.
That's right. But as we've learned over the years, it seldom translates into the pro game.
Yeah.
I'm not doing cartwheels over this guy. He just got cut by the Packers.
Yeah, I'm not holding my breath. Yeah, he got cut for the Packers. Didn't they trade for this Trey Lance, who's dreadful?
I think he threw 5 interceptions.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
In a preseason game.
So, Steve, where's he going? Practice squad?
He's on the practice squad. All right, Michael Pratt, if you're listening, Ira says you're out of here next year.
And this Wolford signed with the Panthers today.
Wolford signed with the Panthers. The guy who looked like he was 5'9".
Little guy, yeah. The irony of all this is, you know, Light claims he's going to draft him in the 7th round. Instead, he drafts Devin Culp, who I'm pretty sure is the very first 7th round pick of Jason Light's to make the initial 53-man cut.
Very nice. And this is his 11th draft, I believe.
Yeah.
Steve, you go with that? First time Light's kept the 7th round draft pick on the 53?
I think he's done it before, but that's why I'm looking it up right now. It's interesting that they didn't feel that they had a need to add another tight end, and now Culp's on the roster. It just goes to show you how crazy the draft is.
They must really like this Culp guy, Lee, to keep a 4th tight end.
Well, I would say that Keith is number 4 tight end. I don't think I've seen Keith, you know, I did not miss one practice training camp. Combined, I don't know if I saw him have 6 targets the first team.
He's a limited player, Lee. He's a limited.
You know, Cohen wasn't around when he drafted him. And Culp is a threat in the passing game. I don't know. I don't think he can block. Keith can block. Keith can block the second and third level. First level, he's not that great. Rarely did a day go by that I didn't see Culp with the first team.
I don't know if Culp can block, Steve. We'll see about that.
Well, just for the record, Grant Stewart, the guy with the crazy hair who was Mr. Irrelevant.
Did he make it? Okay.
2021. He made the roster, had a good year on special teams. Light ended up trading him for a 6th round pick the next year, which is kind of wacky.
So he picked up a round.
So he picked up a round.
And that 6th round pick, I believe, was Jose Ramirez?
I believe the 6th round pick was Kokeeft. All right, Sage, look, let's get to the meat and the potatoes here. We're going to get to the actual game predictions, season predictions later. All right, we're going to get to the individual stuff first. So, Sage, the great Swami over here, who will be the Buccaneers' leading rusher this year? And will Rashad White go over or under 825 yards, which is the current line at the local sports book?
17 games, 825. Lee, my math's still pretty good. That's 50 yards a game, give or take. Can he do it? I don't think he can. I don't think he's going over 825 because I think Irving's going to bite into his carries. I think he'll still get the most carries, because he's valuable on the field. But I'm going under on 825, but I think he still leads the Bucs in rushing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Word for word, Ira. Now, just a little added feature to what we both said about Rashad White, what we feel will happen. Dan Graziano of ESPN, he legit guy.
Good guy.
Yeah, good guy. Just FYI, I sat next to him last year when the at New Orleans and the Bucs played there, and we talked for a while. Big Rashad White fan as far as a pass catcher. His intel, he doesn't put out BS. He's well-connected. His intel is the Bucs are running out of patience with White.
I don't think that's a stretch.
I don't think so either. That they're going to give him a few games, and if it still doesn't click for him, they're going with Bucky.
Now, we've been saying this for a while, and we've talked about it before, and a lot of fans are in disbelief that we even say such a thing. Mm-hmm. Rashad White, great hero of the team. Nobody's got a thing against Rashad White, great guy, and we love how he's out there, puts himself out there. Ronde Barber on local radio, DAE, today.
Not known for taking pot shots.
He talked a little bit in that interview about how he is at one buck all the time,
which
talking to coaches, talking to the front office, spending a ton of time there, watching film, this interacting with players as well. He put out some names. We've talked about that before. I've had fans actually reach out saying, oh, Barber's barely there. You guys make a big...
Oh, no.
Barber himself just said it. I'm going to write it up, how much he's there. But he talked about today, wasn't asked, talked about how Bucky Irving has become a team leader already and how beloved he is and how much confidence there is in him. Very telling.
Light ends up hitting on Bucky Irving. I'm not saying 1,200 yards, but I mean, if this guy averages 4.5 yards a carry, another feather in Light's cap. And he's running out of feathers. He's running out of cap room. Steve, this notion that they're running out of patience with Rashad White, I think there's a lot of truth to that. I mean, you know, they think they can go deep in the playoffs. You don't hang around with Rashad White as your primary back if the other guy's better.
And that's on his heels of 2 years in a row where he led the worst rushing offense in the league.
All right, Sage, now you answered this previous podcast, but maybe folks didn't listen and they need to go back to Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, wherever they subscribe to the Sage or don't subscribe.
First thing I got to do is read my last column, Steve, on this. All
exactly. Right. But who will be the Bucs' leading receiver? And will Mike Evans bust 1,000 yards again?
I'll handle Evans first, Lee. It comes no surprise. Of course he will. Of course he will. Barring injury. The Bucs are very aware of this streak. They're very aware of Evans as a Hall of Famer, which I think he is. Now, keeping that streak going, it's a priority for Mayfield. It's a priority. Mayfield thinks about it. And if he's even close, they will feed him the ball. We've seen it in the past. Mm-hmm. We've seen it. Now, Steve, is the other part of that prediction who will lead them in receiving
yards?
Yes,
sir.
You know, in doing the research on Godwin, Lee, the other day, and I didn't even realize this. I think it was 2019. It was his third year in the league. Did you know that he averaged 95 receiving yards a game, second in the league, to Michael Thomas of the Saints?
Oh, really?
Second in the league. Now, he's the number two wide receiver.
Yeah.
Steve, did you realize that? He was second in the league.
He got a bunch of targets.
In receiving yards per game? He got a bunch of targets. There's no question about it. I think he's going to flourish. I think he's going
to
have more yards. Is he going to have more touchdowns than Evans? No. No, I'm not going there, Steve. I'm not going there.
All right, Sage, I'm calling an audible here before we get to Lee's answer.
I think he can get 1,200 yards.
If he has the year you think he will have, will the Bucs pay him close to market value, which is going to be around $25 million?
If the Bucs have a good season, not if the Bucs go 6-11.
Good point, good point.
If the Bucs go 6-11, I think he's gone.
Yeah, great point.
But, Steve, if they have the season they've had, you know, since Brady came around, playoff season, I think they got to pay the guy. Lee, not only is he a pro's pro, which is what Whitehead called him, and Lee, you said the other day when I mentioned that, that's high praise.
Yeah.
That's high praise. Somebody once called me a pro's pro. I think it was Bruce Allen. And that was high praise. We'll get to that on another podcast. But he's a great representative, beloved by teammates, Godwin. And I don't care. I don't care if his wife said something last year in the heat of the moment. She ain't going to say it this year because he's back where he belongs. And anybody that's responsible for moving Godwin to the flanks and taking him out of the slot, shame on you.
Go to Charlotte.
Shame on you.
Lee, who will be the Bucs' leading receiver? Will Mike Evans bust 1,000 yards again?
Not only will Evans be the leading receiver, I will go so far as to say he gets at least 1,100 yards. Until Evans does not get 1,000 yards, he's going to get 1,000 yards. And, you know, Ira, you were saying they're going to feed him the ball because of his record. I'll go one step further. They're going to feed him the ball because he's their best weapon.
Yeah, both true. That streak, it's a living streak in the minds of the organization. Yeah. It's a priority.
And it should be.
And it should.
A.Q. Shipley, who coached for the Bucks and played for the Bucks in 2020. He's a regular on Pat McAfee's show.
He makes a debut on the Ira Kaufman podcast.
He was
beautiful.
He's a regular on the Pat McAfee show. They were talking about...
I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy. Wasn't he yakking about the mainstream media the other day? Shut up.
Well, he's got a point.
Plus, people think he was Ray Guy. He wasn't that good. Take it easy.
I know. But he's got a point. There was someone in a national publication.
Sorry for going on a tangent.
That
Steve?
Was in cahoots with a unlike suit ESPN.
Oh.
And the guy was being fed anti-McAfee information. And so McAfee's got a legitimate bone to pick.
I don't care how many cutoff T-shirts that guy wears, Stevie. I don't care for him.
And I'm not a huge fan of his. It's different. He's okay. He's a little bit too much of a wrestling feel. I don't give a damn about his peanut gallery. But anybody that can get drunk with Nick Saban on a live show, I give him props.
Not bad. And I guess Belichick's on there all the time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. See, it helps when you cut a check.
All right, continue, Stevie, on AQ Shipley.
All right, Sage, all I was going to say is that Shipley's a regular on the show. He made a point on that show to say that inside one buck, everybody, and it is priority one to make sure that Mike Evans gets that record at all times. So, take that for what it's worth. And McAfee was a hell of a punter, Ira. Come on. Two-time Pro Bowl. Are you trying to take that away from the guy? That's not nice.
I'm taking pot shots. Nice. I'm taking pot shots.
All right.
And he's nice to Joe Bucks fan. He's mentioned Joe Bucks fan a couple times.
Mayfield's very aware of Evans' streak, and that's what matters.
A little nugget to that. Evans, I believe, is like 1,300 and change from 13,000 yards.
13,000 yards?
Yeah. So if he actually gets in a striking distance for that, like let's say he's within 200 with two games to go, I think they're going to push to help him get that, reach that milestone.
Why? He's going to reach it in 25.
Hey, well, I'm just saying. This is how locker rooms work,
all right,
Ira.
All right.
So
that's a high number, 13,000.
Who will have more receiving yards, Ira? Jalen McMillan, Trey Palmer, or Cade Otton? Otton had 455 last year. Palmer had 385.
I think Cade Otton. McMillan's number three or four, same as Palmer. Otten's on the field a lot, Lee. Otten doesn't leave the field, does he? He doesn't leave the field.
So he had 455.
And I think he's earned Mayfield's confidence.
All right, so he had 455 yards last year. You're picking him as tops among those three.
I think he goes 550.
Lee?
This is a tricky question because Palmer, in four catches, could get half of what Otten has.
Yes.
Just on four catches.
But he's going to split time with McMillan.
Now, I know that. I'm aware of that. And I also have a feeling, you can read between the lines, the Bucks are going to try to do what I've been bellyaching about all offseason. Get this guy the ball in a short distance. Don't just use him as a one-trick pony.
Palmer?
Yeah. I think his targets are going to go up, which means his yardage should go up. And like I just said, four or five catches, that's half of what Otten has. He's capable of doing that. And then you got to factor in McMillan. I'm just going to say Palmer.
Steve, you think they'll work hard to get Palmer those crossing patterns that Lee talks about?
They'll have to work hard.
Exactly.
If he can catch him and make somebody miss, they'll keep
him. In traffic? Can he catch him in traffic?
I don't think they're going to give him the ball in traffic. I think they're going to set him up to, you know, catch some slants, catch some balls
bubble
in space.
Screen?
And maybe. I don't know.
He loves his screens, Ivor.
I do.
I'm going with Cade Otton. I think if Jalen McMillan can match what Chris Godwin did as a rookie, 34 catches, 525 yards, that would be good.
That's a good average of catch.
I think Otten will do better than that. Not high on McMillan. Palmer, hope he's got some issues catching the ball.
Yes.
They've been talked about that a little bit last year. It gets forgotten. I think they'll find out who's better among those guys, but I'll go with Otten.
And Otten dominates the snaps out of those three. Like, he dominates
the
snaps.
Yeah. All right, Sage. What will be the Buccaneers' yards per carry average this season, including quarterback? Last year it was 3.4. Just for some reference, in 2020 it was 4.1, 2019 was 3.7, 2015 was 4.8, and back in 2002 it was 3.8.
I'm bumping them up to 4.0. That's a good number. That's a decent number, Lee. It'll put them in the middle of the pack. I see bigger holes, Lee, now, and I see Bucky Irving getting some carries, which you like. I like the two new starters up front. I think they're upgrades, both of them. And I'm not basing it all on the preseason. I just think they're upgrade players, especially I love Barton at center. I think he's going to be really good, Lee. I love his movement. This guy can move.
Barton?
Yeah, Barton. Yeah. And they haven't had that, and that matters. I'm going 4.0, Steve. That's fairly healthy. compared to what we've had around here.
You may freak out what I'm going to say. 4.5.
Whoa, Lee, outstanding.
They have a completely different blocking scheme. They have upgraded with bodies.
That's a full yard per carry improvement.
I think it could happen. Like I said, Bredesen's significantly better than what they had last year, even though some people are down on Bredesen. Look what they had last year. And Barton sure looks to be the real deal.
And I think Wirfs will be better in year two at left tackle.
He won't be worse. He won't be worse.
That's another question.
And a name we haven't mentioned yet, Cody Mauch is beefed up. You know, because of Cohen, because of a new blocking scheme.
Is part of it Irving? Is part of it Irving, the rookie?
Part of it, yeah. I think, obviously, White's going to be a little better because they're on his case about it. So I just think if you look at all the little pieces, it adds up to a nice game.
What do you see, Steve?
So what was Lee's total there?
4.5.
Four and a half.
Ooh, I can't go that high. I'm going to go 4.1.
Which is good.
It's good. And it's a significant improvement. I got to see Barton move some bodies. I hate the way they do preseason now. He played like 6 snaps against the second team of the Dolphins. I mean, you know, I got to see him move somebody.
You think they'll be better on third and short yardage with the running game?
They'll be better with the running game all over.
We all think they'll be better. That's why we picked significant gains.
Okay.
They should be. Hopefully they have more talent. And, you know, gosh, Sean Tucker, if you just look at the eye test from this preseason only, he's got size, he's got speed, he's got feet.
Aggressiveness.
It seems like he can play football, which he looks like at least the best number 3 running back they've had in a while.
Could be a definite upgrade on Edmonds, a definite upgrade.
Oh, yeah.
Don't get Lee started on Edmonds.
Yeah.
All right. Will Baker Mayfield have a better season than he did in 2023 and define that?
Well, I'm expecting a better year out of Godwin than Godwin had last year. I think he forged a pretty high standard, Lee, so I don't think it's that easy to say that touchdown-interception ratio is going to improve.
28-10.
That's strong, Lee. Mm-hmm. That's strong. He shocked everybody, including people at $1, without question. I don't think his numbers are going to be better, Lee, but I think the offense will be better. But I don't think his numbers are going to be better.
He's stealing my thunder, this guy, Ira.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
From now on, let Lee go first.
No, you're good. He's stealing my thunder. I agree with you. Baker Mayfield had a career year last year. It's not nuts to say he'll have a regression because that normally happens. No, a regression could be 50 yards, could be 200 yards. Doesn't mean
could
he's going to be
a... Could be 3 touchdown passes.
Yeah, it doesn't mean he's going to be a terrible quarterback. Just meaning he won't have the same level as he did last year. That's a good question. How do you define better? Statistically, I don't think he'll be better. I think the team will be good. I think he'll be productive, but I don't know if he'll statistically be better.
What if his play action's more effectively?
There's all kinds of factors here. If the running game's going well, they're not going to throw the ball. So obviously that's going to hurt him. Then again, Canales didn't like to throw the ball. I've listened to a couple Stat Geek podcasts, and they're all saying when the Bucs opened up the offense last year, Mayfield did really well. You know, why they didn't stick to that, I don't know. But that was Canales, and it's very fluid. It's a new offense, new player, new everything, basically.
You think he could have less pass attempts this year if the run game could, is better,
yes.
Steve?
I'm going to say no. He was 19th in the league last year with pass attempts. I think the running game is going to be better. We all agree with that. I think he's going to throw maybe one or two less picks, and I think he's going to throw a couple more touchdowns. I don't think he had a career year last year. I think the career year comes this year.
And the offense overall will be better, right?
Well, I certainly hope so. They scored, what, 20 points a game?
Yeah, 20 points a
game.
That's
terrible.
Yeah.
You've said it so many times,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're getting eaten up by mosquitoes, aren't you? They love you.
I hang in. I'm a pro.
You're a pro. All right. As you cover yourself in Raid and Off and all these things, we're going to tell
you. Not in my coffee cup, Lee.
Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them as soon as you have a disaster in your home, as soon as you think you have a disaster in your home, mold, fire, flood damage, water damage, call them immediately. Tell them you heard about them from Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan. If you end up needing their services, you will get a $500 cash back or money toward your deductible, whatever that means. Florida's Elite Restoration. 5-star Google reviews, Ira. It's hard to get that. Really hard.
And they know all sides of this equation, Lee.
All sides of the business.
Yep.
Owner Josh Martin, great guy. Talking to him this week, actually. And, of course, he's got almost 15 years' experience in the insurance business. Now he's on the other side helping homeowners, business owners. And they do a hell of a job. Check out their reviews. We had fun with that one. Somebody mentions Joe Bucks Fan and Ira in the reviews.
It's great to see them doing well, Steve. It's great to see them doing well. They're expanding.
They go across the state now, Orlando, all the way to the Space Coast. If you have a problem, call. It's just that simple. They've got all the best technology. And they'll
and make them your first call, right?
Yeah, and please. They'll come out free to assess everything. So what more could you ask for? You go from there if you have a problem. All right. So, Sage, now that you've got the bugs off you and the spray is done and we're all finished looking at floridaselite restoration.com, Kyle Trask will stick with the quarterback. Will he start one game or more? If yes, how will he perform?
He will start one game or more.
Whoa.
Via injury.
Ooh.
Lee, via injury.
We can't say Mayfield's getting benched.
Right. And I'm the guy, Lee, that keeps reminding Buck fans, of course, that they're ready to press the button and shut this podcast off when I say it. But, Lee, no Buck quarterbacks missed a game through injury since 2017. That's ridiculous. That's crazy. Yes, Winston was suspended. That doesn't count. He was suspended.
Did he get hurt that same year, too, or was that year prior?
I think
2017
he got hurt. Yeah. I think he missed three games. Yeah. That's a long stretch, so I don't want it to happen. But the odds are, you know, Mayfield gets a rib injury, misses a game or two. Trask comes in, and you want to know how he's going to do?
How will he perform?
Mediocre. He'll perform mediocre. Maybe good enough to pull out a game if the Buck defense plays well. Maybe create some takeaways, Lee, in your favorite word, interceptions and takeaways. But he is what he is. He might pull off a game like Mike Glennon won a couple of games.
I
don't want to see him out for 6 or 7 weeks.
Nobody wants to see it. If Trask does play, I think they're just going to hand off city.
Hand off city? Yeah. Could be. Maybe they're playing Carolina. They can win the game without throwing the ball.
So, Lee, take a stab at it. Will he start a game?
Start a game?
Just to be contrarian, I'll say no.
What do you say, Steve?
Well, I mean, you know, odds are in there.
You don't want an injury.
No, of course not. I mean, we're speculating injuries here, but... Yeah, I think he'll start one game, and I think he'll be okay. Mediocre. So I'll go along with that, Sage.
Wait a minute. What about this guy in the practice squad? Suppose they bump him up and
stop. He doesn't even know the offense. Guy's a rookie from Tulane. He's not playing this year. If he does, well, you know, who knows? You never know. The guy who lit up New York and was a superstar for
DeVito?
Weeks.
The guy who was sacked 40 times in about 5 games? I'm still trying to get over that stat of how many sacks the Giants had last year. I couldn't believe it.
Right, five a game.
I couldn't believe it when Steve told me that.
Let's move to sacks. Who will rank first and second in sacks for the Bucks? Give me some names and numbers, Ira.
Lee, you're first.
Ooh. I'm going to say.
And if you say Logan Hall, this podcast is over.
Yeah, not crazy. I will go with Yaya and, okay, I'll be different here. Yaya and Chris Braswell. I really believe that they're going to give Tryon 4 or 5, maybe 6
numbers.
Games.
Give us numbers.
Yeah,
numbers.
Okay. Numbers, 9 and 4.
Steve, go ahead.
I'm going to go with ranking first in sacks. I'm going to give Yaya 10.5, and I'm going to give Cansey 7.
You know, that there you go. That should have been my pick.
That is my pick. How can you not put Diaby 1? I'll give him 10. Yes. He'll improve with experience, but now there's tape on him,
mm-hmm.
and he's not a surprise.
Yeah, I when you think sacks, I automatically think edge rush.
And then I agree with you on Cansey. How many did you give Cansey?
7. I gave him 7.
It's a good number.
Yeah,
it's a good number.
Cansey,
I'll give him 7.5.
I believe Cansey is going to be a monster.
I'll give him 7.5 and 10 for Diaby.
All right. We got the numbers down. I can't wait to type this all up tomorrow, Sage. It'll be fun. It's always nice to put it out there. All right. Who will rank first and second in interceptions? Now, we'll remind everybody, as you think, Ira, that Jamel Dean's riding a 29-game interceptionless streak.
Why you got to focus
and on that? Zion McCollum has 0 interceptions in his career. Tyke Smith is a rookie, and Jordan Whitehead broke through with 4 last year, and, of course, Winfield had a few, but has never really been a big ball hawk in the NFL.
Well, I do want to point out, and I think Whitehead's a good player, Lee. I think he got 3 week 1 against Josh Allen. 3.
Wow.
Out of his 4.
Yeah, first couple of weeks.
Yeah. I don't have much faith in Dean hanging on to footballs. McCollum's still looking for his first one. So I'm going to go with Whitehead with 4 again. He had 4 last year. And I'm going to go with the rookie Smith getting 3. Whitehead and Smith in the slot getting 3. I'm leaving the corners out.
Winfield with 4. Whitehead with 4.
4 apiece. That's not a bad number,
Lee. I can't go with McCollum. I can't go with Dean.
All right, Sage. I'm going McCollum.
McCollum?
With 3.
First 3.
I like his ball skills. I like his aggressiveness. He had one last year that was called back for a stupid penalty. And
they might pick on him, so he might see a lot of balls.
Exactly. I think they're going to test him, and he's got the athleticism. I'm going to go with him with 3, which is not a giant number. And you know what? I'm going to say Winfield also has three, and I'll throw in Dean also breaks through and has three. So okay. Three across the board there.
So I'm the only guy taking Tyke Smith. All right.
Now we'll go to McCollum. How do you think he performs as a starting cornerback? I think he's going to do fine. I'll start with that because I just called him to have three picks. I think he's going to be good. I don't think he's going to be great. I think he's maybe a smarter version of Jamel Dean that still needs seasoning.
What do you see, Lee McCollum?
I don't know, and I'll say this is why. I got fooled by practice again. And I've said this on the podcast before. Back when Hargraves was playing, the way the cornerbacks were playing for the Bucs in training camp, I thought they were going to have a hell of a season. They sucked. This year, their cornerbacks in practice looked damn good. Then they play a couple preseason games. They sucked. The backups did. I don't know if I should be fooled by the way McCollum guarded Mike Evans or if that is a precursor of what's to come. I don't know. Because I've been, you know, what the Who sang, don't fool me, or I've been fooled
won't
again.
Won't get fooled again.
Won't get fooled again. Well, I've been fooled twice. In practice, McCollum looked, he got better and better and better because he was on Evans almost every play. I think he'll be an average cornerback. Average.
I think he'll have his ups and downs.
Yeah.
Lee, I think he'll be picked on.
Yes.
He's kind of an unknown quantity. He'll have some pass interference penalties. He'll learn. Hopefully he's got a short memory, but he'll make some plays. He will make some plays. I think he's good on run support. I like his athleticism. He's going to prove that he's a player, and he's going to take a level up. But anybody that's thinking Pro Bowl, that ain't going to happen.
All right, Ira, what three rookies across the team will impress most in order? Give me your top rookie, number two, number three.
I'm sticking with Smith. I like this kid, Lee. I like him. Now, Izzy wasn't terrible, but I remember Bowles early in camp, Lee. Early in camp, maybe even at the start of camp, he loves this Smith kid because his nose is in the playbook, Lee. He's smart. He's going to be on the field about 70% of the time. Maybe they take out KJ Britt. They're going to face a lot of third and sevens. And I'm going with Smith. He's good on run support. I think they're going to use him as a blitzer, Lee. He's versatile. So I'm going Smith number one. I'm going Barton number two. And it's hard not to go with Braswell, Lee, because I don't think he's got a lot of competition. But I'm a little worried about Braswell, Lee. I'm worried because I'm not sure he can be stout against the run. In fact, I think he's going to struggle in that regard. And if he does, it's going to limit his snaps on the field. He could probably end up being a third down specialist. Mm-hmm. But I'll still put him number three because I think he can get four or five sacks.
Okay.
I got Smith one over Barton, and I've got Braswell three. What do you got, Lee?
Well, when you say impress, what impresses people?
Production.
Splash plays. Jalen McMillan, number one.
Jalen McMillan, number one.
Number two, with Tyke Smith, because I think he's going to make some splash hits. He's going to get people excited.
And centers are not splashy, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And I found this out, and I've heard this before. It's not like I didn't know it, but last year it was glaring to me. When you watch games up in the press box, and then you try to go to watch it on a broadcast TV, what you see from an offensive line is night and day difference. Night and day difference. What these guys do on offensive line does not show up on TV. It really doesn't. And that's one of the reasons why I think everybody screamed, Hainsey, 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 Hainsey. But I'm sitting up there, I'm like, he's not that bad.
Plus, I'm eating a cannoli while I'm trying to watch it, so my mind's on the cannoli instead of what Hainsey's doing.
Where they have cannolis?
There.
I don't remember them having cannolis.
I bring my own in.
Okay. I was going to think San Francisco might have had cannolis.
Lee's going with McMillan.
Number one.
Smith.
Yes.
And
Barton, number three.
And Barton. What do you got, Stevie?
All right, I'm going with Bucky Irving, number one.
Whoa!
I think he makes the splash and looks like the
you
real
know,
deal.
There's another one I forgot. Yeah.
I'm going to go Barton, number two. Yeah, he's a center, but I think the consensus will be that he had a strong.
And if they run the ball well, he'll get a good amount of credit.
Well,
for
I
it.
Think he'll have a season worthy of a first-round pick, and so that should be a good season, even though we haven't.
Who
well,
you got three?
Three. Three's tough.
You got Braswell. You got
I know
Smith.
That Bowles is going to blitz Smith a lot. Is he up for it? I don't know. I thought he might have been a little bit faster than what I've seen, but that's just naked eye stuff.
He's not a blur out there, Lee. He's not a blur, Smith. He's not a speedster.
Not like Winfield.
Yeah. Part of that could be confidence and practice and all that stuff.
What about Braswell, Steve?
No, I'm down on Braswell for this year, big time. I'll go with Smith. So Smith will be my third.
Any chance Izzy reclaims that job and comes back?
I doubt it, okay. But it's possible, yeah. Okay. I mean, if he
gets dinged up.
I mean, if Smith isn't very good or if he's not producing, yeah, sure, they'll move some things around. I mean, but it's not like he's a, you know, the number eight overall
pick. We forgot about Bucky Irving.
Yeah.
All right. So we had some differences there, Sage, which is good. How you feeling about these picks so far?
I feel great. And once the podcast goes out, you'll throw out these picks, and we'll never hear from them again. Right, Stevie?
No, I'll print them up. And,
I hate you archiving this stuff. I hate it.
Tough question here, Sage. Will Levante David's play take a step backward, forward, or stay the same this year?
I'm going to say take a small step backwards because I thought he was sensational last year. Sensational. Was it the best year he's ever had? No, because you got that crazy 22nd year in the league, which I think started with that crazy play against the Jets, and then he ended up being all over the board.
Yeah.
Remember? Making the Pro Bowl or whatever. I thought this might have been his second best year last year. I thought he was very good. You know what? A small step back for Levante David still puts him in high cotton.
Absolutely. I think he'll have a very slight step back. I thought he had a slight step back last year, only in the sense that sideline to sideline. He wasn't as lightning quick as he used to be. He was still very good, but he just wasn't elite. And I think that might be the case this year. You know, he's not getting younger, and he's old man. He's gray beard. He's about 34?
34.
34. So I don't think he's going to be as spry as he once was, but he's so, you know, I was talking to Matt Ryan about Levante David at the Super Bowl, and Ryan was telling me how intelligent Levante David is.
Isn't it cool that Lee's hanging out with Matt Ryan?
He's got the smarts, Steve, and he's a form tackler. He's a short tackler.
Yeah,
which the Bucs don't have a lot of.
Those really good fundamentals, Levante David, that intelligence, he's seen it all before. He knows how to position himself. He will still be very good. He just won't be elite like he was.
The Bucs will be very happy that they brought him back.
Oh, yes.
I'm intrigued, Ira, because I really don't know. Will he be better or worse without Devin White on the field? I don't really know exactly which direction to take that in.
How bad was he against Green Bay when White got benched?
I'm saying over the course of a season and also with the guy who's replacing him, and I don't know. But my
I think in a way you could argue he'd be better with Britt.
My gut tells me he might be a little bit better with Britt. And, of course, you know, as football junkies know, the better you are at defensive tackle, the better your linebacker is going to perform. And if Kancey and Vea can stay healthy, damn.
But he's a year older, Steve. But he's a year older.
Yeah, I know. So I don't really know. I guess logic says go with what the Sage said, because he did have a great year last year, and a step back, a little step back, isn't necessarily.
And it probably won't even be noticeable, Lee.
Yeah.
Him taking a small step back
is still a good year, so yeah. I'm going to go with that.
By the way, Lee, let me say one more thing. As great as he is, and he's great, I'd like to see him pick off a couple of passes. Lee.
Yeah, it's been a while.
No, it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
I guess the real question is, does Levante David shop at Bill Curry Ford? Now, that's a way to improve your life, right?
And Lee,
there.
He never comes off the field. So get a couple of picks.
Will the Buccaneers' run defense improve, Ira? Last year it ranked 8th in yards per carry, which is good, obviously. It was legendary in 2019 and 2020. Took a little step back in 2021, 22, 2023. Nowhere near as good, but still good.
I think it'll take a little step back. You're comparing them, Lee, to some of the Super Bowl team and the year after. They had Ndamukong Suh. They had JPP, who's known as a pass rusher, but he was sturdy against the run.
Yeah.
Now we're looking at Braswell, who I think is going to struggle.
Yeah.
So you think Braswell's going to play a lot?
Yeah. Yeah,
you think they're going to give
well,
up?
Well, I think that's the problem trying to get Braswell on the field on downs one and two is I think he's going to struggle against the run.
You think JTS is SOL?
I'm not expecting much, Lee, so I don't want to be disappointed.
Yeah,
Diaby against the run, average 3.8. That's a strong run defense. I think they could get bumped back to 4.0 or something. I don't think it's going to be better.
So where do they ranked 8th in yards?
So I think they go to 13.
13, all right, Lee.
I actually think they're going to be slightly better, maybe 7th, maybe 6th. This is why. KJ Britt was better against the run than Devin White.
That's fair.
And Kancey have another year of experience. I won't mention the guy's name, but a guy we all know, big Bucks fan. He's, oh, man, you look at the film, Kancey sucks against the run. Like, whoa. I said, advanced stats, he was excellent. He was J.J. Watt against the run. Seriously, I'm not making this up. So I think an extra year, Kancey will be good or better against the run. K.J. Britt will be better against the run. I think they'll be a little bit better against the run.
Kancey can blow plays up in the backfield, Steve. I think that's his forte.
I'm going to go better as well. I like, now, of course, Whitehead's not going to be necessarily stuffing a bunch of runs, but I think overall the numbers will be better with Whitehead.
I still think Whitehead's an upgrade.
Yeah.
He's an upgrade.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he's an upgrade, and I'm going to buy into the Cansey hype because he looks fantastic and the dedication is there. Yeah, maybe Vea plays a little
Golston's
more.
Golston's a year older, Steve.
If they were ranked eighth, I'm going to put him at sixth.
Okay.
All right. Sage, since we've been rolling on defense,
I like the fact we're all over the map on these things,
all
Steve.
Over the map. Name the Buccaneers' defensive MVP. Who's the big dog on defense this year?
The Buck defensive MVP. It's easy to say it's going to be Winfield. I'm not going with Winfield because I don't think it's easy for a safety to do it. And I told you, Lee, when I saw Winfield the other day in the locker room, I was kidding him. I go, you know what you had last year? He goes, what? I said, you had a Rondé Barber year. Big smile from Winfield. He's always smiling, this
yeah.
guy.
You know, yeah.
He's my favorite Buck probably right now.
Is that right?
I'm going with Cansey.
Oh, he stole it again.
I'm sorry,
he
Lee. I'm going
again.
With Cansey.
It's all right. It's all right.
If he can play 15 or 16 games, which I think he's capable of, I think this guy's going to be all over the stat line, Lee. Maybe 3 forced fumbles and a bunch of tackles for loss. I'm going with Cansey.
I am as well. I think Cansey is going to have a monster year. We all know how quick he is at getting to the quarterback, and I liked how Bowles last year a couple times was setting him up at defensive end. I think Cansey's going to be a monster.
Now,
a key
is Vea staying healthy to help Cansey.
Well, that would sure help.
And occupy blockers.
Yeah, that would sure help.
We agree on Cansey. What do you say, Stevie?
It's an easy one for me. I think Yaya shows his dominance.
How many sacks did you have? 11?
I had about 10.5, but I think he's going to play the run extraordinarily well. I think before he turned his ankle in training camp, he was the monster on the field.
Yeah, you think in 2 or 3 years?
I'm trying to keep it simple, Ira. The man is a superhuman strength and a ferocious figure, ferocious athlete. He seems to have all the traits, and I think he's going to get better, and the inside rush is going to help him. I'm a big Cansey fan, too. I just think he's going to just blossom and
is
be
he,
that guy.
Steve, is he a guy that you're willing to say in 2 or 3 years could have 15 sacks?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I sure hope so.
Okay.
You know one thing I like about this Cansey? He will listen and pick the brain of anybody that played in the league.
Nice.
We all know about how close he was to Brian Baldinger, and he worked
Aaron Donald, close.
Aaron Donald, obviously. Gerald McCoy, when McCoy was out of practice, he was working with McCoy for like 20 minutes. He's worked with Sapp. This guy is driven to be the best he can be, and I like that attitude.
And he's very close with Yaya. As far as friendship,
yeah, they are
training with him. I know Cansey's brought him along to, and I remember hearing an interview with Yaya saying, "Well, Kalai just said we're going here, so we're going. We're going to train with some guy."
I want a healthy Cansey. I want to see what he can
do. And we all heard Yaya saying how upset he was that one Buck weight room is closed on Sundays and he can't work out 7 days
a week. You love yourself some Yaya, Stevie.
I'm just looking at him for what he is. Forget where he was drafted. The guy's a beast, and I think he's going to show
at least adequate against the run, right, Steve? At least adequate.
I think
adequate.
He'll be good against the run. I think he'll be good.
Okay.
All right, Sage. So we'll leave that alone unless there's a prediction you want to make for individual players. That's going to be the end of our individual stuff. You have one on your mind that we didn't get to?
Not necessarily. I'm pissed off that I forgot about Bucky Irving when we were doing the top three rookies. Because I should have went last. And
me with Cansey on the sacks, I was thinking edge rushers.
Yeah.
All right, wasn't it a trick question, Aaron?
No, now we get to the big stuff, Stevie.
All right, the big stuff. I'll let you pick the order. First one is going to be the Buccaneers' final record and why.
I'll go first.
Oh, Sage.
Buck's
stepping
final
up
record.
To the plate.
Buck's final record, and my next column is going to be my NFL prediction column, so I got to put my Buck record down. Lee, I got him at 9-8 again.
Oh!
I got him at 9-8 again, Lee. I can't go 10. I can't go there. However, I think they're going to win a division at 9-8. Might be a tie. It was a tie last year. They won the tiebreaker against the Saints. This year, it could be the Falcons at 9-8. I got the Bucs winning the tiebreaker there. I just can't go 10. I just can't do it.
So let me clarify here. So you believe the Bucs will have a losing record outside of the division. What do you put them at in the division?
You're trying to chop me up.
Well, chop you up. Are they 4-2 in the division, you think?
They could be.
Could be?
They could
okay.
be.
All right. So Sage will not be chopped up.
Lee, I'm going to say this. And Lee, I don't think you can push back against this. Mid-season schedule, rough. Rough.
Early.
Like
early
five, six games.
Yes,
rough.
Yes.
Can they get through that? Maybe. Or they could go 2-4. 9-8's not terrible, Lee. If they win the division again, not terrible. Keeps Bowles employed. I'm going 9-8. Won't you go, and we'll have Lee go last.
You want me to go
yeah,
second?
Yeah, you go, baby.
Oh, all right.
And you better not say 13-4, Steve. Now, come on.
All right, Sage. Well, here's how I look at this. I look at the Bucks, and I don't see a bad team.
Right? I didn't say they're bad.
Who said you said they were bad?
All right.
I'm talking. It's my turn. It's like we're going to mute your mic. It's like a presidential debate. So I don't see the Bucks as a bad team. And I believe, in my heart of hearts, the Buccaneers will win their final two games of the season. And those games are at home against the Saints and the Panthers. Sage.
Isn't that the way last year finished? The Saints and the Panthers? It's the same closing schedule. Where are those games? Both at home?
Yeah, both of those games are at home. December 29th against the Panthers, January 5th against the Saints.
Well, may I point out that you thought they were going to kick the Saints' ass last year, and instead the Saints kicked the Bucks' ass?
You sure about that?
You might have picked the Saints. Keep going.
So I believe they're going to win those two games. That's what I believe. So if I put them at 9-8, then that means I think they go into those final two games with a losing record, that they're a losing team through 15 games, and I can't do that. I don't believe that. So I'm putting them at 10-7, Ira. I think, yes, there's some tough spots for the season, but I think they can beat San Francisco at home in a 1 o'clock game. San Francisco's going to lose 4 or 5 games this year. Why not in Tampa at 1 o'clock on the East Coast? I don't think the Eagles are as good as people say they are. I really don't believe that at all. The Bucs can win that game at home, a big game. They're going to be fired up between the rivalry and the fans and Devin White talking a bunch of nonsense and Todd Bowles knowing how to bait him into.
Could they lose twice to Atlanta? Could they?
I don't see it. I see him as 4-2 in the division, 6-5 out of the division. I'm turning it to Lee.
Ira and I are on the same wavelength. I can see a path to 10. I'm not predicting that. They need an upset early in the
Why?
Season.
Why? Schedule tough?
Yeah, tough schedule. But I can see a path. They get one upset. They could win 10 games. I say Atlanta goes 8-9. What the hell? I'm going to walk on a limb here. I'm going to say Cousins struggles, at least early. By the middle of October, Atlanta is going to be in the city, will be in an uproar. Michael Penix. So I think that's going to be a major distraction. I've said that before. I think it's going to happen. I think they go 8-9, the Falcons. Bucks win the division at 9-8.
Bucks win the division at 10-7?
Yes.
I think the Panthers win 4 games. The slimy Saints, bye-bye, Allen.
We put it on the line. Can I needle you guys a little bit?
Yeah, go
of course.
For it.
All right. So, in your calculations, Ira, with your calculator and your old-school Mont Blanc pen you got there and your notebook, do you see the Bucks winning those last two games, Panthers and Saints at home?
You would think so, Lee, but I would have thought so last year. And they were manhandled mm-hmm. by the slimy Saints.
Mayfield got hurt also.
Forget last year.
Yeah, I think they could win those games and split the first two, so I know what you're saying.
All right.
Lee, that makes them 3-1, and if I got them at 9-8, that's 6-7 the rest of the way. I just think the middle schedule's a bear.
So what you're
Lee,
saying,
I think it's a bear.
So simply put, you think they're going to go 2-1, beat Washington and Denver at home.
I didn't say that. I said they're going to split the first two.
All right, Sage is on his game today. All right, I got you, Sage. I got you. So, Lee, you think they're going to be losers going into those last two games? And that means fans are going to be freaking out, talking about, if they can't win these games, Ball's going to get fired and all that stuff that's going to come.
No, they'll win the last two games. I think the slimy Saints are going to be just – slimy Saints might be on interim coach at that time. And the Panthers are going to be – come on, the Panthers.
I got them at 9-8.
All right, Sage is 9-8. Give me the records of the NFC South teams. Lee, you know what? Let's Lee go first on this because he already sort of put it out there. So Lee's got 9-8 for the Bucks, 8-9 for the Falcons. And,
Slimy Saints, 5-12. Carolina, 4-13.
13. Yeah. I know Steve's going to say the Saints are better than that. I think Steve's going to say that.
They're old.
I'll go second, Steve. 9-8 for the Bucks, 9-8 for Atlanta. Bucks win the tiebreaker. Saints, 7-10. Goodbye, Dennis Allen. And Carolina, 3-14.
Can I add an interesting asterisk with the Slimy Saints?
Sure.
By the time the Slimy Saints come to Tampa, their quarterback will be Spencer Rattler.
Very good, Lee. Very good. What do you got, Steve?
All right, Sage, I'm going
you
with...
You got Bucks 10-7.
10-7. I'm going to give the Falcons 9-8. I don't want to, but I think some of those factors that Lee mentioned with the Saints and some other teams, I think it might break well for them, but I could see the Falcons. That's my ceiling for the Falcons. I think they're going to be worse than that, but I'm going to go 9-8 if I have to be smart with myself right now.
Saints.
Mainly because I think Bijan Robinson is probably going to have an explosive season, and their old offensive line is good. And even if Cousins isn't great, that O-line and that running game, he's probably going to put up points, and that's enough
and
to win.
And
the
defense is mediocre, right?
We'll see. Yeah, it might be terrible. Thought it was pretty funny. Raheem Morris lost the preseason game 31-0 preseason. He's high-fiving fans. He's taking selfies. He's having a great time out there. All the games are sold out in Atlanta for the whole season, from what I read. So that's really interesting. Could be quite a home field advantage there, as it was years ago with that crazy dome.
Steve, you're always very consistent about the Saints. You say they're not a bad team.
No, I don't think
don't,
they're
don't
a bad
write
team.
Them off.
No, I'm going to put them at 8-9, and I think Dave Canales, he'll struggle to win 4, but I think he'll get there. And so there we are. Pretty much in lockstep, Sage.
Bryce Young got anything, Steve? Bryce Young going to improve in year 2? Or you don't think this guy's going to make it?
Well, I don't really know. But if he doesn't and they go to Andy Dalton, Andy Dalton can win games. He's that kind of guy. He's going to get out there and he's going to win 40% of his games all day long. That's not going to get you anywhere, but he'll
do it. Lee, I've been reading, I don't know if it was Yahoo or somebody, and they were trying to make the point that they think the move from Canales to Cone is a letdown. This guy has given Canales all the credit in the world for resurrecting Mayfield's career.
What are you reading Yahoo for, Ira?
Was that the Charles Robinson character?
No, it wasn't Charles Robinson. But, Lee, is there anything to be said that Canales did a little better job than we think he did? I mean, they averaged 20 points. I can't give him too much credit.
Well, you have to be fair. Mayfield was on the scrap heap. Nobody wanted him. He got cut from the worst team in the league. And he was a complete restoration project. And Canales did rather well. I mean, the guy got to a Pro Bowl. So, you know, Canales did all right. But I think a lot of people are overlooking that the resurrection of Mayfield began in Los Angeles with Cone.
My knock on Canales, Steve, is very unimaginative in the run game.
All right, we don't need to. We've heard this so many times.
All right, there we go.
Come on, we're almost at the opening day. You're going to give me the breakdown of why Dave Canales.
We all got the Bucs winning the division,
We
Steve.
Got it. All right. Your surprise good NFL teams of 2024. Don't give me more than 2, Ira. And it's the surprise element is relative, right? So if you think a team is going to win, you know, a lot of people think it's going to win 5 and you got them at 8, whatever it is, your surprise, good surprise of 2024.
All right. In the AFC, I'll give one from each conference. The Chargers. I think Harbaugh is very good.
Yeah.
I think Harbaugh is very good. I love this track record. I think he's a nut.
Yeah,
he's a nut.
He's eccentric, let's put it that
he's
way.
He's an eccentric, but he loves physicality.
Yeah,
those
he's
Niner
a throwback.
Teams. He's a throwback. He's a rah-rah guy. You know, the Chargers have been languishing. Some people are down on Herbert. I'm not.
No.
Now, he lost his top two receivers, Mike Williams and Allen. But they needed some fresh blood.
Mm-hmm.
Eckler's gone. But they still got Bosa. They got Khalil Mack.
Whenever he's healthy.
Yeah. I'm going with the Chargers in the AFC. And I'll let you weigh in on the AFC, too. Who you got from the AFC?
You want one more team for
all
us?
All right, one more team from the NFC.
Doesn't have to be NFC.
All right. I'm going to say the Commanders. The Commanders because a lot of people have them going 4-13. And I don't think they will. I think Daniels is the real deal, Lee. I'm glad the Bucs get him opening week. I wouldn't want to see him in week 8.
Exactly.
McLaurin is a fine receiver. I think he'd be a lot better if he had somebody to throw him the ball, and Daniels could be that guy. This ain't Taylor Heineke over here. The defense isn't bad. Quinn coaches a good defense. I think they can win 7 games, which nobody's predicting for the Commanders. And I'm thinking the Chargers, and I don't think the Chiefs will three-peat. I don't think they've had a good offseason with some distractions. This Kelce thing, I don't think he's going to have a – I think he's on the way down. I think Kelce's
Taylor Swift's going to take him down?
He's on the way down. I got the Chargers winning 10 games. I didn't say they were going to win the AFC West, but nobody's picking the Chargers to win 10, and nobody's picking the Commanders to win 7. What do you say, Lee?
Well, my first question is I'm shocked that you didn't bring up the Brittany Mahomes controversy this week.
I hear it. I don't want to talk about it. You also have the Chargers?
Yeah, and I don't. But I was going to ask, is that a surprise?
I think a lot of people. I think it is.
You think so? Because a lot of people were thinking, you know, with Harbaugh there and Herbert, they're going to do well.
I think they've underachieved, Steve. They've underachieved.
Yeah, that clown that was there before.
Yeah.
He just went by the, you know, whatever the stats say.
Yeah.
Stupid
ass. You like Harbaugh. You like him.
I like him because I think he's a good coach. He's mercurial at times.
Nice one, Lee.
He's eccentric. He's odd, but he gets results. Wherever he goes, he gets results, especially with quarterbacks.
All right. So, team two. And it doesn't have to be an NFC team. Doesn't have to be.
I haven't seen this city so excited for football maybe since the 80s.
Detroit?
No.
No.
Chicago.
That's not
Chicago.
The Bears.
Chicago.
The Bears. I don't know if they're going to do any better. Williams does look like the real deal. I'm not sold on the Bears coach.
He's got good targets.
I give the Bears credit for having a very good offseason. I don't like Eberflus. I think he's a lousy coach, so that's why I have reservations. But Williams looks like the real deal, albeit preseason. But I have not seen that city of Chicago that fired up for football since the monsters of the Midway in the 80s.
Can you see him winning 9 games?
Possibly. If Williams is that guy, yeah, they could win 9 games.
Their defense isn't bad, Steve. Chicago's defense isn't terrible. All right, what do you got, baby? I'm trying to think who you would pick.
I think Russell Wilson's going to be very successful with the Steelers. And
you always like their defense.
I think
right?
he's a great fit. I think I think it's just going to be a perfect fit for what they want to do. Last chance for him in a lot of ways, and just with the right coach. So I think they're going to cruise.
They don't have a lot of splash on offense. They don't.
No, but they've got enough. I just think they're looking at 11 wins in the division. I think they're going to be very strong.
That could put Tomlin over the top for Canton.
Could.
I mean, it could.
So, you know, not a popular pick there, Sage. And,
all right, team two.
Team two.
And by the way, Pittsburgh, that's a tough division, Steve.
Yes.
That's a tough division.
Yeah, brutal division. And I think it's going to start with them beating Atlanta in Atlanta on opening day. And Sage, and of course, you know, picking Mike Tomlin to have a winning season isn't exactly...
you're not saying they're going to...
That's like Mike Evans not getting 1,000 yards. Yeah.
You're not saying they're going to snap Buck Cousins' ankle
I don't think
in week
people
one.
Realize
you're not
how,
going that far.
I don't think people realize how bad the quarterback play was last year with Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
It gets glossed over all the time. Now you've got a legitimate quarterback there who last year had good numbers and people say
good
he sucked.
Numbers. He certainly was
a lot better than Kenny Pickett. All right. Last one is going to be, I think, the Rams are going to overtake the 49ers. I think the Rams are the real deal. Right coach, right situation.
No Aaron Donald.
Great draft picks. They've got great defensive line play, and even without Donald, and I think they're going to win the division.
Cooper Kupp bounces back, Steve?
They just have a really good team. Good running game. Everything is there.
And you like McVay, obviously.
Yeah, and Stafford can still play, and I think it's going to all right there.
Lee, remember the days when quarterback's 36 and everybody said, they're done? Things are changing now. Stafford, you know, he's still got it.
Part of that is, I think, because the NFL, you know, is protecting quarterbacks. Can't touch them anymore.
So, Sage, this is fun. Now, people are going to be actually wagering on your picks.
It is fun.
Because you're the Sage.
We didn't pick Detroit because people are jumping on Detroit.
Yeah,
they're
everybody
not going to be
a surprise.
All right, Sage, last one for you. Biggest underachieving teams in the NFL 2024.
Chiefs.
Whoa.
And I'm a Chiefs fan, as you know, Lee. Yeah. I think they dropped to 10-7 and a tie with the Chargers.
So you think the Bucs can beat them, is what you're saying?
I do. I think the Bucs could beat them.
you like how I got them there, Lee?
Very sharp. they got a problem at left tackle, even though they used Donovan Smith last year and won the freaking Super Bowl. But, you know, at least Smith shows up. He shows up to work.
Is he still unemployed?
Yes.
That's a little surprising. A little.
I think Kelsey's taking a step back. I think the Chiefs struggle, and I don't think they go deep in the playoffs. I think they're a playoff team, but they don't go deep in the playoffs.
The end of the Chiefs' reign. What else you got?
Yeah,
you got
the
another
end,
team
the end of the Chiefs'
Who's
reign.
Who's the overrated mess?
Dallas. What the hell are you doing, Jerry Jones? Can you shut up?
No, he won't. And that's good for reporters, by the way.
And I don't like guys that miss the training camp. I think it's a problem.
Yeah, it's still,
most times.
It's stuck in your craw about Brady.
You know, and C.D. Lamb. You know, he's great. he's great. But, you know, and there's too much drama, Steve. Too much drama. The Big D doesn't stand for drama, but it does. It shouldn't, but it does. Now, I think they've won 12 games 3 years in a row. I got them going down to 9 or 10, Dallas. I'm picking Philly to beat out Dallas.
All right, Lee, you want me to go or you going to go? Two underachievers.
I had two in mind. Okay, I'll stick with two.
Green Bay?
Two in mind.
Green Bay? No. Okay.
Just the opposite of Isbits. I think Pittsburgh's going to struggle. They're going to start out well. To quote Michael Lombardi, you want to pick teams in week one, you go with the teams that have the toughest training camps. What's Mike Tomlin say?
Nice.
If you're going to box, you have to spar. They'll start out great. Sean Payton, quarterback guru, ran off Russell Wilson. Even though he had fair numbers, ran off. So this guy's going from one of the best quarterback coaches in the league to Artie Smith.
Yeah, Artie Smith, Steve.
This guy sucks, I'm sorry. This is a guy who didn't even give the ball to Bijan Robinson, his best player. Couldn't do that. And he's coming up with funky plays. I mean, this guy's an idiot.
He'll pound Najee Harris, 25 times a game.
Maybe.
Let's be real. He'll do whatever Mike Tomlin tells him to do.
Tomlin doesn't mind by winning with defense and running.
Oh, no, he doesn't. But I think I'll just go with Pittsburgh. Sooner or later, like Mike Evans, sooner or later, Tomlin's going to have a losing season. And I just think Artie Smith's an idiot.
And a rough division. And a rough division.
Well, how rough? My other team, Baltimore.
Why?
Well, I'll give you one big reason. You know, unfortunately, about their offensive line coach, right?
Yeah, he passed away. Very good
coach. Did you see who they replaced him with? George Warhawk.
Don't say that name, Lee. Don't say it.
I mean, he was a nice guy, but he's a terrible
coach. Now they got Lamar Jackson.
I'm not a big Lamar Jackson fan. You know, I'm like Chris Russo. Run around quarterbacks don't win you a Super Bowl.
What about Derrick Henry? Derrick Henry?
He's okay. I mean, but he's old. You know, a 30-year-old
running back. A lot of tread.
Exactly. And by the way, Nashville had a lousy offensive line last year, and Henry still had a good
year.
You're
picking two teams from the same division. Does that mean you like the Bengals?
Yeah, I do. Burrow's healthy. Yeah. And usually, I agree with you, Ira, that's a good division, but I think the Ravens are going to have a big drop-off this year. And like I said, I am not an Artie Smith fan at all. And by the way, Ira, I got friends up in Pittsburgh. They're screaming for Tomlin's scalp. Screaming. They think he's turned into Tony Dungy II.
They want offense. Steve, did you give your two disappointments?
I did not. I'm going to start with the Eagles. I think they're a byproduct of the media more than anything else.
Sirianni's in trouble.
What other team completely implodes and all of a sudden all the national media thinks, oh, they're going to win 11 games this year? What?
They've made changes.
They didn't change the head coach. They didn't get their genius offensive coordinator.
They lost their all-pro center.
They're going to tell us, they want us to believe that Saquon Barkley is going to run for 1,400 yards this year and come back. Devin White's going to save the defense. No, I'm not buying it. Maybe they win 9 games, 8 games. I think they miss the playoffs. So I will say I think the Bucs can beat them, Ira.
You think they still got locker room problems in Philly, Steve?
I think they've got a lot of issues, yeah. Yeah, I do.
By the way, I could be wrong.
And losing Kelsey, oh, no big deal. Come on.
That's a big deal.
By the way, didn't Baltimore, didn't their defensive coordinator go to Seattle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And they had a hell of a defense last year.
He was a good coach.
What else you got? Who else could Steve come up with?
You ready for this, Ira?
Well, Steve could come up with
you want to guess?
Buffalo?
No, give you one more guess. But
I know who I picked.
While you think about it, I'm going to say there's been a lot of speculation, Lee, that I've heard and listened to, especially out of Denver, listened to a couple of things, that Sean Payton wanted into this quarterback draft, this historic quarterback draft.
He liked Bo Nix.
And that's why it wasn't even just Nix. He wanted in. They were also prepared to trade up, and he was not going to let Russell Wilson stand in his way of getting in a historic quarterback.
But he ran him off like 2 games to go.
Well, everybody knew what the draft class was going to be, you know. So,
all right, I know who you're going to pick, Steve. You ready?
Yeah.
A lot of people are jumping on this team. Houston.
Yes.
I was going to say
Houston.
Houston.
I was going to see Houston earlier.
Why? Why are they taking a step back, Steve?
Because, you know, you're very quick to say, oh, there's tape on this guy, tape on this guy. There's tape on this team. They got a lot to prove, I think. Their division is better. I think Jacksonville will probably bounce back a little. Mm. And I think the Colts have a better coach.
Stroud's got good targets.
Very
Steve.
Underrated.
He's got
last
good targets.
Year. I understand he's got good targets. He had good targets last year.
Diggs is going downhill, though. His numbers.
Diggs is going downhill.
And he's a pain in the ass.
I think he's going to miss Hopkins, who had 1,000-plus yards last year, but that's no big deal, right? Because it's a Houston hype machine. They lost DeAndre Hopkins, no big deal.
Joe Mixon, done. J- Joe Mixon.
No, I don't think he's done, but he is older, and everyone's going to be hyped up to play Houston. And I just think they're probably a 9-win team, nothing close.
You like the coach? You like Ryan's?
Yeah, sure. What's not to like? But I just don't think they're.
I knew he was going to pick the Texans. I knew it. And everybody's jumping on them.
Well, I was thinking Texans also. You know, when I was debating
9 wins, I'm giving them nine wins.
When I was debating Pittsburgh, like, oh, maybe I should go with Houston. I think Houston's going to a little bit of a drop off.
And they're going to move to all primetime games this year. Houston's playing 1 o'clock on Sundays before. Now they're in. You're in the tough guy territory.
There were no expectations last year.
Zero. So that's a tough road. Sages was fun.
There's a lot of expectations on this podcast, Lee. A lot of expectations.
You got to fill us in. You put out a couple of Twitters, Steve.
What I do?
The listenership has spiked. Give us some background.
Oh, I haven't heard that. I always love to hear news like that, Stevie. What's our metrics? What's going on?
Let's put it this way. Podcast data, if everybody had accurate podcast data, it would all be published for everybody to see, right? We would know that.
It's not like TV ratings, right?
TV ratings aren't exactly an exact science, but there's no huge, big podcast.
Like a Nielsen thing, yeah.
But the trends that are out there and some of the stuff out there, we've had a nice boost in this training camp. Maybe people coming back. Maybe people excited by the Sage. We had some nice guests. Whatever it is.
Are we number one, Steve?
Well, we know we're number one, Ira. Whenever we put that out in social media, nobody questions it because they know.
Our competitors, they don't want to acknowledge that.
Of course not.
They hate that. I mean, the website's number one. Everything's number one. It's just the way it is. But, yes.
Glad to be a small part of it.
On the rise. On the rise. Sage in his ninth year at JoeBucksFan.com. Grinding away. And, Ira, I'll say this. We know that you're working on a story that would blow the minds of a lot of people.
Lee tipped me off to it.
Lee uncovered it, and it's a mind blower.
Give me a week or two.
It's
a piece of history, Ira. That's why you have to flush it out. It's historic, and it could help save the jobs of future people in your profession. Think of it that way, Ira. All right. Say goodbye to the fans.
That's a long podcast,
Steve. Well, a lot of people will be on the beach this weekend if they're not shopping at Bill Curry Ford. And this is something you can just relax to at the beach.
You mean they should listen to this while the riptides are casting them out to sea? Yes,
or people are stealing their chairs from St. Pete Beach.
Out on the boat, you know?
I want those chairs back, Lee. Or out on the boat.
Out on the boat.
With a beverage.
With a beverage. And we thank Bill Curry Ford presenting all of Ira's work at JoeBucksFan.com. Florida's Elite Restoration.
Hey, next time you talk to Josh, ask him when I'm going to see him in Publix. I haven't seen him in 3 or 4 months. I always like to see him browsing the aisles over there.
All right, we're out.